Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Kicking off hour number three of Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We are a live call-in radio talk program, so the telephone number you need to join us is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Lord Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Beakless Mountaineer.
All right. I've been talking about this article basically the whole show. I've mentioned it at least once in each hour. So I think it's about time we talk about it. This is from AugustaCrime.com. The headline reads, Preschool Mom Violently Assaults Teacher at Catholic School in Grovetown.
So if she's a mom, why is she still in preschool?
Yes, I think a reinterpretation of the headline.
That's a little held back, don't you think?
A parent was arrested for violently assaulting a teacher Wednesday at St. Teresa of Avila Catholic Church's preschool program in Grovetown, according to a sheriff's report. Casey Marie Brooks, 28, of Crawfordville, Georgia, was charged Wednesday with battery. And it says in parentheses, see the suspect side of the story below. We'll get to that. According to the sheriff's report, the parent said she was upset over how her child was handled on Tuesday. She came to discuss the matter with the 61-year-old teacher and the school director. During the meeting, Brooks allegedly punched and hit the teacher in the back of the head repeatedly. A witness tried to stop the assault but could not. She yelled for help, and a second witness came into the room and pulled Brooks off the victim. But then Casey jumped back on her and again started hitting her with her fist as the victim was lying on the floor, a sheriff's report says. Casey also bit the victim's left thumb and palm, leaving visible marks. The witnesses pulled the parent off the teacher, and the teacher retreated to a class bathroom and locked the door. Brooks left the building saying she would wait for her mugshot, a report says. As deputies arrived, the teacher's face was swollen, and she had teeth marks on the base of her thumb. She was taken by an ambulance to Doctors Hospital for treatment. Brooks was charged with battery and later released on bond. She contacted the jail report on Thursday in anticipation of the story making the news. She requested to tell her side of the story. Now, we'll talk about her side of the story in just a second and get to that. But first of all, this sounds very outrageous, right? A parent is upset with the treatment of their child. She makes an appointment to see the director, who was also the teacher. I believe this is one and the same person. Or an appointment to see the teacher and this other person who was the director who stood by or was otherwise a witness to the thing. But either way, then proceeds to beat the teacher, like hitting her repeatedly with her fist while she was down, etc., and so on, biting her, that kind of thing. It's a very violent altercation that happened here.
And I thought that was a really weird way of phrasing that. Hitting with your fist. You mean punching?
Correct, yes.
Like, last I knew, that's called punching.
Yes.
Did I miss a meeting?
In the back of the head as well. It says, during the meeting, Brooks allegedly punched and hit the teacher in the back of the head repeatedly. So, you know, I don't know what you want to call that. There's generally a term for that. But, you know, at any rate, sounds like a violent assault.
Right.
And at first glance, you're like, what would ever possess somebody to show up and beat a teacher?
Right.
Because teachers are, they have this sort of aura of nobility about them. Oh, you're a teacher. That's what a noble profession, and you know, all this kind of thing. When really they're just in charge of your kids at government day school for indoctrination. But it's either here or there. It sounds on the surface like, oh, what a horrific thing to do. Well, here's the mom's side of the story. Here's what she sent to the jail report on Thursday in anticipation of the story making the news. She figured that it was going to make the news. She beat up this teacher. She's like, this is going to make some news. So I'm going to send in a thing. And here's what she sent. I know you'll be sharing a picture of my mugshot soon, so I am reaching out to give you the details from my side to help add some validity to what you report. And indeed, this very article has her mugshot as the featured picture at the top of the headline. I was arrested and charged with battery after the administration of St. Teresa of Avila Catholic Church's preschool program pulled video surveillance footage from my nonverbal 2-year-old son's daycare classroom, and for 3 hours I watched his teacher spank him several times, hit him in the head, slap him with a book, shove him to the ground, snatch him up by one arm and carry him across the room multiple times, slam him into his seat to make him eat lunch alone in timeout, pick him up by his ankles and hold him on his neck or head and grab his face so hard his cheeks were touching in his mouth as she was nose to nose with him, amongst other things. Sounds like child abuse to me.
Sounds like the teacher got off light.
The daycare director dismissed her employee's actions and assured me she would be keeping her job. She claimed to see nothing wrong with the teacher's abusive behavior until she could no longer deny what we both had watched and asked me what I wanted to do about it. I requested to speak with the teacher to hear her side, and they agreed. I appreciate the opportunity to see her feel how my 2-year-old son felt when she was standing over him, laying helplessly on the ground. That's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah.
Now,
honestly, to me, that shows restraint.
Oh, yes.
I would not have been as restrained if I had watched 3 hours of someone beating my child. I don't think that I could restrain myself. But I will say, there's a way that none of this could have happened. There's a very, very simple solution where none of this ever needed to happen.
What could that be, Peakless Mountaineer?
Raise your own children. I mean, I know it's a wacky idea, but don't have the government raise your children.
Or the government and, you know, your local church.
Yeah. Raise your own kids. Like, figure it out. Figure out a way where, like, okay, maybe you have to move into a small apartment or something, but, like, figure out a way where you can put the time in to make a human being a human being. Because that's not what's going to happen to them in school.
To me, I applaud this lady wholeheartedly for standing up for her child, for defending her child. I do not advocate violence. This, to me, is self-defense in defense of her child. Since the child cannot defend itself, a nonverbal 2-year-old, come on.
Yeah, that is called third-party self-defense. And, yeah, like I said, honestly, I think that was restrained.
So Brooks also told the jail report that after her release from jail, she filed the sheriff's report for assault on her child. Sheriff's Major Steve Morris said late Thursday that any such report was not yet available for review. School officials referred all questions to Jill Parks, communications director for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Savannah. Reached on her cell phone, Parks declined to comment on the parent's arrest or whether the teacher would keep her job. It's under investigation, so we don't have any comment at this time, she said.
Well, and here's what happens when you get a monopoly on dispute arbitration, on so-called justice, and it doesn't work. Like, what are you going to do? Take this person to court? There's no justice to be had there.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention here is child abuse occurs frequently, and you most frequently find child abusers where there are large quantities of children gathered together. 603-283-6160. If your nonverbal preschool-aged child was treated this way, what would your reaction be? 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. That's the phone number you need if you want to get on air and join us. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
And Bigless Mountaineer.
Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of that here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it is really taking off. Now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. Visit video.freetalklive.com. Follow us on Odyssey today. That's video.freetalklive.com. There was somebody who had mentioned not being able to get the archive from last night. You can always go over to video.freetalklive.com and listen to the show there using the feed that's up there on Library. So we have been talking about this story of, it's a horrific story, really, of a preschool mom. I don't even know you call it preschool, 2 years old, it's daycare aged, whose child was at St. Teresa of Avila Catholic Church in Grovetown. What state is this in? Got to be Georgia. And according to the mother, she watched 3 hours of video surveillance footage of her nonverbal 2-year-old son's daycare classroom, where the teacher spanked him several times, hit him in the head, slapped him with a book, shoved him to the ground, snatched him up by one arm to carry him across the room multiple times, slammed him in his seat to make him eat lunch alone in timeout, picked him up by his ankles and hold on to him with his head or neck and grab his face so hard that his cheeks were touching in his mouth as she was nose to nose with him, amongst other things.
And what exactly is a parent supposed to do when they see this?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, and I'm sure many parents do, think that there's a reasonable expectation of safety for their children in, whether it's a Catholic school, a government school, they're all sort of guided by the same bits, just one is more expensive than the other, really. But parents don't realize frequently that you are giving your child over to an institution. You're not necessarily giving your child over to caring people whom you've met and vetted yourself and, you know, done your homework on and that kind of a thing. You leave that up to the institution to do those kinds of things, and there within is your risk. You risk putting your child with abusers when you send them to public school or private school.
And the thing is, if you're an abuser, this is what's going to draw you. Like, if you are someone who is sick enough to want to hurt children, then you're going to be drawn to the circumstances in which you are in charge of children.
Yeah.
And especially that you have never even met the parents of.
You conjure up the stereotype of the you know, the pervert hanging out at the place or the playground where all the kids hang out and that kind of a thing. And there's some truth to that, but the real devious ones, they get jobs inside of these institutions where they can be around children all of the time. They will volunteer for things like, I don't know, scouting and, you know, things of that nature, so that they can be around their victims or future victims, so that they can stalk and figure out where their next victim is going to be.
And be in a position of power over them.
Correct.
And here's the thing, like, would you just pick a random person off the street to babysit your kid? Well, then why are you trusting them with people that you've never actually met?
So, at the bottom of this article, there is a link to a YouTube video. It's too long for me to play for you. I have reviewed it myself prior to tonight's show, and I would like to point out as well that this particular mom had only put her child in this classroom for a total of 4 days.
Mm.
Now, riddle me this, Batman, and listeners. I don't know if Batman's listening. Maybe he's not.
Batman's always listening.
How often did this happen to other children?
Does make you wonder.
Because oftentimes when it comes to this type of child abuse, it is not a one-time thing. It is not a one-child thing. Mm. She just got caught this time.
Yeah, this sounds casual. This sounds like her casual behavior.
There's a screen cap from the YouTube video that I just want to alliterate. Ms. Brooks stated that on September 1st, 2021, she reviewed video footage of her son's class at St. Teresa Avila Catholic Church. The video footage was of 8:31 between 9:45 and 13:45 hours. She witnessed multiple events of Miss, and then her name is blanked out, the teacher, physically abusing and mishandling her son. Hatcher was the son's name. She considered the actions child abuse. She further stated that she was told that she could not review other class days' video footage or other cameras' views of the aforementioned incident. So she only got to see 1 day of this 4 days of school, that this daycare, whatever you want to call it, that her son attended, her two-year-old non-verbal son attended.
So this was the part they wanted to show you.
This was the part that, yeah, the director of the school or whatever was like, well, this is the footage we'll show her. And then she saw it. She considered it child abuse and then was told that she could not review other class days or other camera views of the incident. She was convinced there was numerous other incidents because on 8/12/2021, he had a leg injury from school. I think that date is wrong. And she had to pick him up early. At that time, she did not think much of it. But with the later incident, she became suspicious. I went to the incident location and requested they make available the footage for the aforementioned dates and times when an investigator will communicate with them. 603-283-6160. Are schools just a place for child abuse? More Free Talk Live.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former President Trump is speaking to supporters in Georgia Saturday night at the Georgia National Fairgrounds. The former president hosting a Save America rally.
1 year from now, Georgia is going to be a central battleground in our fight to rescue our beloved nation. We have great, great people running. Many of them are right here. Hello, Marjorie. With your help, we're going to take back the House and send Nancy Pelosi back to San Francisco.
Lawmakers are looking to form a permanent office under the Secretary of Defense dedicated to investigate UFOs. It might sound like the X-Files, but this is real life. A proposal to create just such an office is contained in the fiscal 2022 National Defense Authorization Act passed Thursday. This is USA Radio News. In the House, GOP leadership is urging the party to vote no on the bipartisan infrastructure bill that will come up for a vote next week. Iowa Congressman Ashley Hinson joins Fox Business to explain the reasons why she's not in favor of the bill.
It's triggering inflation. It's horrible for our economy, and it's not the right time to be spending this much money on policies Americans don't want or need right now.
On Thursday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer announced Democrats also reached agreement on a framework to pay for a larger budget package. Longtime Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa announced he's running for re-election. Grassley making the announcement on Twitter Friday, saying he has a lot more for Iowa. The 88-year-old senator was first elected to the U.S. Senate in 1980 during the Carter administration. Grassley set to face former Iowa Representative Abby Finkenbauer, who called Grassley a coastal elite. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160 is the number. Again, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join us in the studio, it's myself, the Reverend Captain, joining me.
Beakless Mountaineer.
So, in addition to having to watch out for teachers abusing your children, you also need to worry about government technology surveilling your children from home. I was doing show prep. I've got several articles related to this, but I happened upon, it's a PDF published over at scholarship.law.unc.edu. I think it's University of North Carolina. And it's called The Constant and Expanding Classroom Surveillance in K-12 Public Schools by Barbara Fetters. New technologies are expanding schools' ability to keep students under surveillance inside and outside the classroom during the school year and after it ends. Schools have moved quickly to adopt a dizzying array of new tools. These include digital learning products that capture and store student data, anonymous tip lines encouraging students to report on each other, and software that monitors students' emails and social media posts, even when they are written from home. Steadily growing numbers of police officers stationed in schools can access this information, compounding the technology's power. Advocates of these schools argue that they improve student safety and learning outcomes But this article reveals that the evidence for this argument is, in fact, quite thin. Moreover, policymakers have failed to consider important countervailing considerations, most notably student privacy and its significance for child development, unequal impact, particularly for poor, black, and LGBTQ youth, and potential liability for school administrators. Using North Carolina's public schools as a case study, this article makes three contributions to the burgeoning literature on the surveillance state. First, it provides a comprehensive topology that shows the full range of student surveillance. Second, it identifies key procedural and substantive objections to student surveillance that should be, but are not, taken into account by policymakers. Third, it proposes principles to guide the selection, implementation, and oversight of student surveillance. I'm going to stop there. This is a very lengthy PDF document that goes well into all sorts of things that we're not going to be able to have time to talk about this evening. However, I want to mention, the first thing I noticed was there was no statement following the last statement that I just read, which was third, it proposes principles to guide the selection, implementation, and oversight of student surveillance. I expected as a human being to read another line that said, fourth, we have recommendations for this not to be implemented at all. But, of course, that is mysteriously missing. Give me a reason why children in public school need to be surveilled at all, whether they're in school or outside of school. And I you have teachers in classrooms, and, like, that's fine. You don't need to digitally surveil these kids.
And my first thought is, generally speaking, when people are watched constantly, it drives them nuts.
Yes.
I mean, like, how are you supposed to avoid becoming paranoid?
How are you supposed to relax?
When you are literally being watched all of the time.
I don't... we talk all the time about how there's a school-to-prison pipeline, how that the institution of schools represents the institution of jails in many ways, shapes, or form. They'll get the same food frequently. They'll have some of the same buildings, or at least the folks who build the buildings. They'll build the jails, and they build the schools, because they're the same thing. They're built to government specifications, of course. And so they begin to resemble each other after a period of time. When an improvement or something comes along for jails, they implement that in schools as well, as far as building technology, structure, that type of stuff. So here's an entire report on the expanding classroom surveillance in K-12. I want to just pull a bit out of this that I found to be succinct and to the point. To fully appreciate the scope and power of contemporary student surveillance, consider the experiences of Manuel, a 15-year-old public school 10th grader. One Saturday night, he posts a photo of himself and a group of male friends, all Latino, on Instagram, captioning it, "Me and my crew." The boys are making a variety of gestures with their hands, peace signs, thumbs up signs, and other gestures of indeterminate meaning. His school, which owns a third-party social media scanning software program, is alerted by the company that makes the program due to what its algorithm identifies as suspicious activity. On Monday, the assistant principal directs the school resource officer, known as an SRO, yes, this is a cop, to question him about the Instagram post. Manuel explains that the photograph simply shows him and his friends having fun. Not satisfied with that explanation, the SRO trails him at every class exchange. The SRO also asks for and reviews footage from the school's video cameras the past week. The assistant principal alerts Manuel's teachers that he suspects Manuel of possible gang involvement. When Manuel sneaks a look at his cell phone during math class, his teacher confiscates it, referencing the student code of conduct prohibiting students from having their phones out in class. Later Monday night, on the school-issued laptop he uses because his parents cannot afford to buy him his own, Manuel takes a break from his homework and emails a friend to confide that he is depressed, anxious about the SRO, and angry at a mutual friend, Jose. Within an hour, a different SRO is at his home, alerting his parents that he is conducting a, quote, wellness check, unquote, because of the concerns over Manuel's email.
Wow. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, I mean, that what could possibly go wrong?
The public school system is not only indoctrinating your children, but is getting them used to being controlled in every way, shape, or form, at every turn, at everything that they do.
Well, we just need to monitor you constantly because you're a danger to yourself and others. And you're a danger to yourself and others because you're being monitored constantly.
The incentives here, particularly for the SRO or the school resource officer, are the incentives that he wants to keep his job, right? And so he has to appear as if he's doing a good job.
Well, if we don't drive these kids insane, then how are we supposed to put them in jail?
So in this particular example, the SRO is incentivized to stalk a child, because if he doesn't, he might be accused of doing a poor job and lose his employment. Never mind that he shouldn't, I mean, people should not seek these types of positions at all.
I remember once upon a time you could actually be not at school anymore, and I looked forward to that.
Yeah, I think a lot of kids do, and is it a surprise we see an increase in anxiety, an increase in mental health issues with children with this type of a thing going on? 603-283-6160. Why must children be constantly surveilled by school?
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets, stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late. In 17 years, Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is the final segment of tonight's episode of Free Talk Live. We're here 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Some radio stations will choose to not play us 7 nights a week. So if you're only hearing, you know, this episode or a few of the episodes and you want to hear them all, you can always listen at freetalklive.com. We've been around since before podcasts were even a thing. We do have a live stream at freetalklive.com when the show is live. Sometimes radio stations will play us when we're not live. You might be hearing this, hearing my voice right now outside of the 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time, and that's fine. If you want to call, however, you must call between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern to get your voice on the radio. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Beakless Mountaineer.
We've been talking about this study done using the North Carolina public school system on surveillance of students with the rise of technology and also the whole lockdown, COVID, got a school from home, so now all kids need a laptop.
I see that our added scrutiny has caused you to become depressed and anxious, and that means that we need to have more added scrutiny.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel comfortable having a camera on you for 8 hours a day at your job?
No.
Unless you're like an actor, you know, or something like that, where it's kind of your job to be on film and you voluntarily choose it. That does not seem acceptable to me. And then, of course, I have questions on, you know, what happens to all of this data that these schools are collecting on your children.
And I wonder, why are parents putting up with the school invading your home?
Yeah. Yeah, well, because parents, it seems to me, I want to call them lazy. I want to call parents lazy. Lazy parenting for accepting that. It's just, you know, well, that's what my parents did for me. They just sent me to school, and I was fine. Were you? Were you really? Or did you want to leave all the time? Were you eager to, you know, well, perhaps you were bored. Perhaps school didn't teach you anything. Perhaps it only served to, I don't know, indoctrinate you in some way, or served to babysit you while your parents both went to work.
Well, and it's that whole, well, I want them to be educated. Okay, that's great. Do anything other than that. Honestly. Like, let them loose on the streets. They will learn more than they do in school. Like, throw them into a gutter. They will learn more than they do in school. I mean, what did you learn in school? Nothing. None of us have any skills after we get out of school.
Yeah, there's certainly things that school could have taught that it didn't while I was there.
Right.
Like balancing a checkbook.
Right.
I didn't go to that. Credit. They didn't talk about credit at all. How to get a good credit score, how to avoid bad credit. You know, they didn't talk about any of that at all. Several other things.
How to house and feed yourself.
Yeah.
You know, just a thought. Maybe we should go over how to house and feed yourself.
So this PDF has some more in it. It says, it's got actually a lot more, way more than I can get to, and I'll post a link to all of our social medias. So if you want that, social.freetalklive.com. While the federal and state education policies permits and encourages digital learning, regulators have not prioritized protecting student data available to private companies after students use digital learning technologies. And, of course, during the break, I had brought up what happens to all the data collected on these children. Who gets to see that and when? Where does it go? Does it get deleted? Does it get burned? Does it, you know, is it recycled? You know, what happens to it?
Does it get sold?
The Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, known as FERPA, is the main federal statute that governs the privacy of student data. The law protects student data and regulates access to and use of education records. It gives students and parents the right to review their education records and to challenge misleading or inaccurate information. However, the statute is not sufficiently protective of student information given technological advances. For example, it is unclear whether information about students obtained pursuant to school surveillance technologies is part of their education records. In addition, privacy advocates argue that school districts can circumvent FERPA's requirements that student data not be shared with third parties by characterizing education technology companies as school officials.
What?
Right. So they just decide to call the tech company a school official, and that's how they circumvent this.
What manner of madness is this?
Well, it's kind of like corporations given personhood. Right?
Oh, yes, I remember my school officials. So, Google, Facebook.
So now software.
Microsoft.
Software is being considered a school official. Now. Another federal law aimed at protecting minors is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, known as COPPA. COPPA. COPPA what? Or is that like COPPA as in, oh, they're cops? Ah, yeah, it's a COPPA, you see? It's a COPPA. Coming to arrest your children, you see? It's a COPPA.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on Vice Principal Google.
Yeah. Well, COPPA, which prescribes the collection of personal information from a child under the age of 13 without parental consent, it's supposed to protect that. COPPA applies to websites or online services directed at children. And any operator of these products with actual knowledge that is collecting personal information from a child. The statute requires operators of children's websites to post privacy policies outlining what information is collected from children by the operator, how the operator uses such information, and the operator's disclosure practices for such information. COPPA 2 has key weaknesses in terms of privacy protection. For one, it only covers students under 13. In addition, no private rights of action are available under this statute. Instead, the Federal Trade Commission enforces the law. Yeah, the FTC is going to protect your child's data.
Corporations would never take advantage of children. They're good people.
This is so disturbing. I realize that might be a little heady for some people to go, so software on my children's laptop is monitoring them even when they're at home? Yes. That is what I'm saying. Yes, that is what's happening. If your child is going to school from home because of COVID or whatever, then yes, that piece of technology that's in your house is being monitored whenever it is on, and probably even if it's not. That technology does exist for things like the camera and the microphone to be turned on without the laptop being open or powered on. We know this because it already happens in corporate America. It already happens with cell phones. It's not a huge stretch to think that. Oh, what else is it collecting? Some states have enacted data protection laws aimed at filling in gaps left by FERPA and COPPA. California's law, for example, considered the most protective of student privacy, prohibits educational technology companies from knowingly selling student data or using it to create a profile of the student for non-educational purposes. However, even this more robust law cannot guard against redisclosure of student data in the event of purchases, mergers, or other acquisitions. So what that means is, imagine this. School buys a piece of software.
Mm-hmm.
That software company is purchased by some other company.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, the law doesn't apply, and now that new company can have access to that data for whatever it wants because it just bought it.
Wow. Chilling.
Or, you know, I'm sure there are legal ways that a company can sort of reorganize and restructure and rebrand itself that it's a new company and get access to the files that they themselves collected in the first place.
Well, it's a good thing we made these companies school officials, don't you think?
No, I don't. This is all super Orwellian, if that's even the right term.
I mean, like, how much more of an Orwellian nightmare do we need, people? Like, we have to change this. We have to stop. Stop giving your children teeth.
Yes, I agree. Stop giving your children over to these
murderers, thieves.
We're out of time. If you missed any part of tonight's episode, go hit the archives at freetalklive.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Peace.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.